Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Houston, standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
And we challenged there, of course. I mean, the guy didn't. Looking back at it, we didn't complete the catch through. We didn't survive the ground. So looking back at it, probably shouldn't have thrown it. But I feel like the guys saw something that I didn't see up top, and that's why, you know, in the first half there, it's not like we're losing it. Lose a timeout is not as big of a deal as it would be, he says, say in the second half when the timeouts are very critical.
So I'll defend D'Amico with losing a timeout in the first half isn't as important as losing a timeout in the second half. I think that's a fact. I agree with Cap with that take. I don't like being willy-nilly on challenges, though, because how many challenges do you get as an NFL head coach? Two. What happens if you get both of them right? You get a third. What happens if you lose either one of those challenges? You cannot get a third. And look, maybe somebody, oh, it's minor, it's minuscule, they challenge all turnovers and scoring plays anyways, blah, 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 blah. I don't want to be willy-nilly and lose a chance of potentially having a third challenge if I win my first two. D'Amico Ryans, and look, I don't know who's in charge of buzzing down, hey, Cap, this is one we want to look at. It used to be Nick Caserio with David Culley. If it's not Nick Caserio with D'Amico, then maybe it should be. But D'Amico's 2-7 in his career challenging plays. I got that from Cody's Toots on Twitter. So, like, this process needs to be looked at here a little bit, guys. I get that the timeouts in the first half aren't as impactful as timeouts in the second half, but I would hate to be in a situation where I couldn't use a third challenge because I'm willy-nilly in the first half with them.
I also, like, just firmly disagree about the timeouts part of it. If you're in a game situation in which you are down big, let's say you're down by two scores, and you've got the ball, but you only have one timeout instead of having two because you blew on a stupid challenge. You could go in there, you could score and get the ball at halftime. All of a sudden, it's a tie football game. But because you burned a timeout on a terrible challenge, you made it that much harder for yourself to accomplish that goal. You can't be willy-nilly with timeouts.
Yeah, not what he said, though.
No, I know, but that's basically what he's saying.
He's saying that first half timeouts aren't as important as second half timeouts, which I agree with. I think you paint a great picture. I think it's an accurate picture.
Yeah.
I agree with you. You shouldn't be willy-nilly on the timeouts in the first half either. But I do think second half timeouts are more important than first half timeouts.
Yeah, I mean, yes, but they're still valuable in the first half.
Agreed. So, and maybe he's not valuing them enough. I can meet you halfway.
Yeah, and the guys up top, it was so clear from the beginning. I couldn't believe that they threw a challenge flag at all. I thought it was very obvious.
Right? I was stunned.
Watching the television, that's an incomplete pass. You could see the ball hit the ground.
Yeah.
And then when you saw the replay, it's even more egregious. So
I wish there was a follow-up to D'Amico. What did they see?
Yes, because he says there, they saw something. Maybe they saw something that he didn't see. I don't like the words maybe either in there. What are they seeing that, those guys stink at their jobs?
Yeah. And I think you're right. It sounds like a very, bold take. These guys need to, fire them or whatever, cost them their job. You're not necessarily saying unemploy them, but maybe you just rethink the whole, process of who's in charge of the challenges, who's making the decisions, who's returning to play. I'm with you. You're 2-7 under D'Amico in challenges over the course of his 3-year career. I think you need to be looking at the operation and maybe changing the way things are done for you, because that's not a high enough success rate. That's pretty. That's poor. That's very bad.
Yeah. So whether it's evaluating who's up there, what decision making process is just is going into it, it's like the one that happened last night in the Rockets game is frustrating, where they didn't get the challenge in time.
Yeah.
Because the ball got put into play before the game, before they could get it in there. That's frustrating. The Texans game, it's just a bad decision process.
So bad. And I don't think there was one person watching that game was like, challenge that. And yeah, there wasn't one person that once they challenged it didn't immediately know they were going to lose the timeout and lose the challenge.
Yes.
That was brutal. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Okay. 713-780-ESPN. Lamont called in, and Lamont didn't want to talk to us, I guess. Lamont was on hold. He was on hold for 25 minutes, and I guess somewhere between the 25th and 26th minute, Lamont made the decision, you know what? I've been on hold too long. 2128, even when Kirk had been on the field, he had been a huge disappointment. Did you notice Kirk and Knoll's snap counts this game?
Kirk down, Knoll up?
No, not even close.
Really?
It was the other way. Kirk got more snaps. Knoll went down.
Why?
Kirk played 36 snaps, 51%. Jalen Knoll played 18 snaps, 26%, offensive snaps. Why? I think game script. The Texans were either ahead or tied for almost this entire game, or within a possession. Whereas in the Jacksonville game, they were down multiple possessions and had to throw it and had to go to 11 personnel and 3 and 4 receiver sets. They didn't have to do that against Tennessee. And Jalen Knoll's not in many 2 receiver sets. So that would be my answer as to why.
That's Christian Kirk's a better blocker, basically, as part of it.
That's probably part of it. But
which
also
makes
just
sense
in those formations, you know?
Yeah, I don't, because I'm with the texter. It's just, and not that we should have had high expectations. This was what, a trade for a 7th-round pick is what you gave up for Christian Kirk, a 6th-rounder? Like, it wasn't a high draft pick that you gave up, but it still is below expectations of what I think we all thought Christian Kirk's impact on this team would be.
Yeah.
Feels like he's either like missing in action, but he's on the field, so he's not contributing. And when he does contribute, it's mostly in a negative way.
I mean, he almost got a touchdown, Joe. I mean, there was somebody in the Texans booth yesterday that thought he did catch a touchdown.
Almost.
He had the catch on the next play that brought the Texans to the 2.
He did.
I think Kirk's okay. Like, I don't think he's a bad football player. Like, if there was no Jalen Knoll on his heels, I don't think we would really be like, oh, Christian Kirk is the worst. I really don't. That was his only catch yesterday, too, by the way, the one that he caught on the very next play. he had one catch for 6 yards on 4 targets. Jalen Knoll played way less and had one catch for 12 yards on 1 target. He did more with far fewer snaps and far fewer targets, although it was a receiver screen on like a 3rd and long in which he didn't come anywhere near the first down marker because the Texans were playing complimentary football and looking for the punt in that situation. I think Kirk's biggest enemy, though, is Jalen Knoll. Like, I don't think that Kirk would be getting the negative run if there was no Jalen Knoll right behind him.
No, I think we might be looking at more at Nick Caserio in that moment of saying, you didn't bring anyone else in to compete with Christian Kirk? If this is the production that you're getting from him, he's just been a nothing burger mostly. So it's disappointing still. Like, you were hoping that there was some level of that first year in Jacksonville, and that's been a couple years now, that there was some of that would translate to this team and this offense. But then again, the offense hasn't been that great this year, so we shouldn't be too shocked.
Junkie, over the last 3 years, what is the league average for challenge success compared to DeMeco? Those are billable hours, man. Like, you want us to like do your work for you. Billable hours. Send the invoice to @JeremyBranham. Google says that in 2023, it was 43% success rate. Last year, it dropped to 40% success rate. Google doesn't have the data for 2025, at least quick search. So roughly 40% success rate is probably where it should be. And what did I say DeMeco was? DeMeco is two for seven. So I guess that math isn't below average, but it's not terribly below average. It's pretty bad. 29%.
Yeah, that's not good.
29% when league average is roughly 40.
That's not good.
I think that you should be looking at this process, man. You should be looking at, hey, Nick Caserio, do you want to be on the headsets again? Do you want to be my buzz down guy?
Could
you live with that?
Or if he's on them, get off of them.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the process.
Yeah.
If he's on them, he needs to get off, yes. If he's not on them, hey, Nick, do you want another game day responsibility? Which Nick would love that. He might not be able to see out of the coach's box window, but I think he would love the responsibility.
I mean, he did it for a year.
We think.
Didn't he say he did it for a year?
I think it was a timeout, not a challenge.
Oh, okay.
Remember? That was the whole thing of, like, you know, whenever Cully, like, tipped the hand. Like, Nick told me to take a timeout or something like that. I think it was more game management than challenging.
So I found something, and it's not great. But this is an article that listed the success rate of all 32 NFL head coaches, and taking out the first-year coaches that only have like one challenge or in some cases zero challenges so far, DeMeco is the second worst in the entire league, only above the guy we all hope will be the OC next year, Mike McDaniel.
Wow.
Great.
And look, a lot of time, I mean, most of the time it's not the head coach. Most of the time, it's not the head coach that's making these decisions. Like, ultimately, the one throwing the flag, but they're usually relying on somebody else, like an eye in the sky that's in the booth. And DeMeco flat out alluded to that. DeMeco talked about, we got buzzed down from our, you know, we got told from our crew upstairs. And I think you need to reevaluate your eye in the sky procedure if you're the second worst in the NFL.
What do you mean by that? Like, reevaluate, like, their eyeballs? Like, see if they can they see what's happening on the football
get
field?
Get different eyeballs.
Yeah.
Get a different person.
Yeah, that's what, I mean, you said, like, Joe wants them on the street. I kind of do.
Well, I mean, they probably have a different job. Like, they're probably, like, responsible for something else during the week.
They better be really damn good at that job.
I don't
job,
think
though.
Their only job the entire week is, like, in the 60 minutes of the game, tell me what I'm challenging, what I'm not. They have to do something else.
I don't know, but what a great job that would be. Like, your responsibility,
well,
like,
until
only
you try to ax them.
Well, yeah, I know. But, like, if I could get that job tomorrow, hey, you only got to work for 60, like, for 3 hours, and you're just responsible for challenges.
Would you be better than 30%?
I think so.
I think so, too. Like, this is the one area where I think we would have a chance. Like, there's no way we're out scheming an NFL coach, offense or defense. There's no chance that, like, we're winning a one-on-one in any position against another NFL player. But can you out-success rate an NFL challenger? I think in the Texans' case, most of our listeners could.
I think we all could.
I really do. Like, I think that all of us, all of our listeners, all of the junkies, all of the YouTubers, maybe not the Twitchers, but everybody else certainly above 30%.
Yeah, I think we could have a strong argument to being collectively better than 30%.
It's so bad. You got to change the process, man. All right, let's get to the rest of the NFL. Who had the biggest win in the NFL yesterday? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I hope all of you had a great weekend. I hope all of you got all the rest that you needed, all the relaxation that you needed. If you didn't, may I suggest Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. They are the best. They're sensational. They're going to get you that relaxation that you crave. They are going to get you that rest that you crave. They are going to make you one with nature that you also crave, whether you know it or not. Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. Get on out there and escape the city. Enjoy the relaxing, great outdoors. Book your stay at twocreekscrossingresort.com. They got the open green spaces that we all covet. They have the wildlife you don't see in the city. Beautiful, beautiful nature, including the majestic mature trees and also some of the best fishing in Texas. They got the two creeks that run alongside their property. Great fishing. They got the catch and release pond in the middle of the property, which is a great way to teach the kiddos how to fish. It's only 90 minutes from Houston, too. You can escape the city without traveling too far at Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. Always get a kick out of, hey, I'm going to take 2-3 PTO days off of work, and I'm going to spend the first day traveling. I'm going to spend that last day traveling back. Are you really getting that much time for your time? No. You do get that at Two Creeks Crossing Resort, though, because you're there in an hour and a half. You're going to be hiking on their 92 acres of property in no time. Maybe you're playing some pickleball on their pickleball court. You're doing that in a flash. Kayak on their water. It's fantastic. They got glamping for you. That's all the rave these days. They got the cabins, which nestle up right against the creek. Awesome. The treehouse up there at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. The Branham family stayed in it when we went. The kiddos loved it. You have an RV? That's cool. They have the perfect, they have an RV hookup spots all over the place that's perfect for you and anyone to stay. And they're always taking care of their visitors out at Two Creeks Crossing Resort as well. Bingo, stuff for the kids, bonfire and s'mores, college football at Swampers. You're going to have a great time. And from November through February, check out this deal. You'll get 40% off all cabin rentals and 20% off nightly RV stays. Their 40-20 discount. Take advantage of the 40-20 discount. Book your stay now at twocreekscrossingresort.com. That's twocreekscrossingresort.com.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2. You're back with Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
He's Joe, I'm Jeremy, 713-780-3776. Junkie says, I think I could be a better team and doctor than the Astros had last year. Hopefully you wouldn't put Kyle Tucker on a treadmill with a broken bone in his leg or have Yordan Alvarez facing professional pitchers with a broken bone in his hand. Might be right. All right, biggest win. Go ahead, Joe.
You still got to read like the MRIs, though, to get the information correct.
Yeah.
A lot of inflammation.
Yeah, it'd be hard for me to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. But like, I don't trust myself there.
The ball touched the ground. I can do that.
Yeah, that's much easier.
Yeah.
Does this guy have a crack in a bone, and I have no idea what that stuff is versus what this cartilage is? Yeah, I don't. I wouldn't even know where to begin on reading an X-ray. Like an obvious one, you know, like it's shattered in half. Okay, I got you. But like a little itty bitty hairline fracture, like in the eighth metacarpal, I don't like my chances.
Yeah, but like ball touch ground, I can do ball touch ground.
yeah, I can do the simplicity of ball touch ground. I can't do hairline fracture in the eighth metacarpal.
Feet in bounds, ball touch ground. Like I can handle that. Like we're good with that.
You can't tell a third or fourth degree strain in the hamstring over a first or second degree strain?
No, my only concern would be about, you know, the ball going like is like an illegal forward pass. Sometimes those get really tricky.
What?
Like the one like the Frank Wycheck play.
Yeah.
Like sometimes that gets tricky.
The Music City Miracle?
Yeah, like did the ball actually go backwards or did it go forward? I'd be a little
nervous. Those can be a little tricky.
Yeah, like that'd be like the one challenge I'd be a little nervous about.
I think I'd be pretty good at this job.
Me too.
I think I'd be all right. All right, who had the biggest win in the NFL yesterday, Joe?
The Broncos.
Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, the Chiefs dropped from like the betting favorite to win the Super Bowl still to now I think they moved down to fifth.
Still fifth?
Yeah.
It
legitimizes the Broncos for me and because I've thought they were overrated, and I still don't think they're a legit Super Bowl contender this year, but to beat the Chiefs and to separate yourself, like you've basically secured – that the Chiefs won't win the West this year at this point. So you're going to finish higher than them in the playoff standings if the Chiefs make the playoffs. So I think it's the Broncos.
Yeah, 3.5-game lead on Kansas City feels insurmountable since Denver's played 11 and KC has played 10. Like it would be a long shot. Now, it does help that Kansas City gets another crack at Denver, but Denver's still going to have to lose multiple games. And their schedule, I don't think it's conducive to losing multiple games at Washington, at Vegas, home for Green Bay, home for the Jags, at KC, home for the Chargers.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if they have three losses there. And that would mean that Kansas City would have to run the table, which I think they can. But, yeah, I think Denver's lead is close to insurmountable over Kansas City. I agree with you that it has cemented Denver as a player. I still don't take them seriously as an AFC contender. Do you?
No, I don't.
Yeah, they're at least a player in the playoffs. You know, that to me is where it cemented them in at.
And maybe they are, because I don't know if I consider anyone a real contender in the AFC right now.
It's like, a weak conference.
Like, is Baltimore a contender struggling to beat Cleveland?
It was on the road, Joe. It's tough to win road games in the NFL against division rivals. See the Texans.
But, like, it wasn't a good game. I mean, I know how you feel about Josh Allen and the Bills.
Yeah, he turned it over twice.
So, like, I don't know who is the legit contender coming out of the AFC.
Tell the rest
right
of the story.
That was the rest of the play, Mrs. Lincoln. Do you think Kansas City's in trouble, though?
I think so. They're 0-5 in one-score games this year, so they're not coming through in the way they have in the past. They play the Colts in this next game right now. The Colts are a good football team. Their offense hasn't really clicked this year, even as you know Rice has got back. Xavier Worthy hasn't made a huge impact. And Patrick Mahomes has been pretty damn good this season.
Yeah, he has.
And they're still not winning these games. So I would be, I'm a little concerned.
See, I still think they're the best team in the AFC, but they're putting themselves in a position where it's like, you got to win some games here, guys.
But they've lost to all teams that are in the playoffs right now. They've lost to the Chargers, the Eagles, the Jaguars, the Bills, and the Broncos.
Okay. Most if they were in the playoffs, who wins those games?
I would probably still bet on the Chiefs.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
But this season, like, you still have games versus the Colts, the Chargers, and the Broncos. Three more playoff teams this year. You've only beaten one playoff team in the moment, and that's the Lions.
How many wins do you think it's going to take to get in? 10?
I think 9 in the AFC.
Let's go 10 for fun.
Okay.
A nice round number. So Kansas City has to win 5 of their next 7 games. Colts, Chiefs.
Colts.
Okay. At Dallas.
Kansas City.
Home for the Texans.
Kansas City.
Home for the Chargers.
Kansas City.
At Tennessee.
Kansas City.
Home for Denver.
Denver.
Wow. I'm going Kansas City.
But will Denver have anything to play for?
Well, maybe. It depends on what the Chargers are doing. And then seeding. I mean, there's only one seed now, you know, they get to bye. So I think there will be something to play
for.
But that's
also week 17. We haven't seen teams really take the
count. True.
Yeah.
True. Good point. And then at Vegas.
Kansas City. That puts them at 10.
Okay. So they're in. They're in. And if they get a seat in the dance, I have a tough time picking anybody but Kansas City to run through the AFC.
Totally agree. But
yeah. See, I actually think they could get to 6 of their next 7.
It just hasn't, even in a lot of their wins this year, it just hasn't looked really good this year.
No. It was kind of like that last year, though.
Yeah.
Like last year, but it was the opposite. Like last year was the opposite, like where it looked like this, but they were winning all those stupid games, remember? It's like they can't lose. Like they're inventing ways to win. Like teams were fumbling the ball in field goal range when they needed a field goal to win it. Teams were like knocking it off the upright and doinking it off to win it. They were getting last second field goals. This season, it's like the inverse of that. Like, it's the same product, it's just that final play, that final drive. Last year, it was turning up aces, and this year, it's turning up, you know, whatever is the opposite of aces.
16?
Yeah, it's like bus card. Yeah. 21, you know, last year. This year, it's like bus cards. So, yeah, it's weird. From a Texans perspective, who do you want to win next week between Kansas City and Indy?
Indy.
You agreed.
Because you're chasing that final. I don't think you're going to chase down Indy at this point, even though you have two games left with them, right? I don't think the Texans are going to win the South this year. Their path to the playoffs is the 7th seed right now. Jacksonville beating the Chargers was huge this weekend for the Texans, and then as Kansas City falters is big too. So I think you're rooting for the Colts.
Yeah, I was asking that as a trick question, and you didn't get tricked. I think you should be rooting for Indy as well,
because
I don't think that you're catching the Indy.
Trying to make me look dumb? Challenge flag.
No, I wasn't trying to make you look dumb. I was trying to make everybody look dumb.
Okay.
Not just you. You were just
you always come in here with these down questions.
You were just the byproduct of that. But I shouldn't have thought that, because all of you are smarter than I think. All right, 713-780-3776. Let's take a look at the rest of these NFL games. If not Denver, who else had the best win over the weekend? 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy, it's Joe, it's ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
He's Joe. I'm the Huntington Bank bad boy, Jeremy. They're going 4-3 the rest of the way, says a junkie about Kansas City. Stop using 2 years ago as a barometer to judge what's on the field this year. I don't think anybody did that. At best, we use last year as a barometer to judge what's on the field this year, because they went to the Super Bowl last year.
I think normally I agree with that. You don't use previous history to judge a team, but isn't Kansas City kind of the exception to that rule a little bit?
I think it's more the body of work than specifically like the last, you know, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, I see what you're saying.
Like that's how we, until now, that's how we viewed the Astros, right? As like, yeah, things weren't always going great at all times, but why would you not trust a team that goes to 7 straight ALCSs? Why would you not still trust Kansas City to make the playoffs and go on a run this year when they represent the AFC in basically every single Super Bowl since Mahomes has come to the NFL?
Yeah.
So it's hard. Normally I would agree with the texter, like you shouldn't use the year before or 2 years before either. to judge a team, but I think Kansas City is the exception to that rule.
If the Texans somehow manage to beat Buffalo on Thursday and Indy loses, and the Texans can catch them by beating them twice, hashtag math. Look at Indy's schedule. You can make a case that we're the easiest games left. They're going to lose a lot of games down the stretch. Yeah. But I still want them to beat the Chiefs. Division is wide open, says somebody else. Somebody says the Rams had the best win yesterday. It's hard to disagree. Win by two over Seattle. They forced Sam Darnold into four interceptions. Now they have a game lead in the division. Seattle still gets them at home, and I'm not putting that one. I'm not putting that division to rest by any stretch of the imagination. But a good win.
I think it's definitely in the conversation because there's another team you got to factor in now too.
Yeah,
because Brock Purdy looked very good.
The beast incarnate, Brock Purdy, is back.
Yeah.
And then, he's back. He's alive, and he is well.
Now, they've already played him twice this year. They split that series, the Rams did, with the 49ers, so that helps them out a little bit. You don't have to play him again. But that's going to be a three-team race coming down here. So that's a big win for the Rams.
Yeah. Cardinals are brutal, man.
Yep.
That's not a good football team. I wonder if Gannon – how hot, 1 to 10, is Gannon's seat?
4.
Really?
Buckle
that low?
Up.
Wow.
I feel like he's coached them really well.
What?
Yeah, they've got an offense problem, but it starts with their quarterback.
Jacoby Brissett threw for over 450 yards yesterday, Joe. I'm kidding.
If it's an offensive problem, what happened with 42 points allowed?
Joe, he's 15-29 in Arizona. This is his third year.
I know. But
if D'Amico was 15-29 in the middle of a meltdown of a year, wouldn't you want a new head coach in Houston?
Probably.
I don't know, man. 4-13, 8-9, 3-7, and it looks like it's going nowhere fast.
And in the middle of one of those years, you punched one of your players.
It was a love tap.
I know. I'm playing. I'm just adding to it.
I forgot about that.
I still think their roster.
And plus, it's this guy.
Yeah.
Shots.
It's like if Nick Caserio was struggling. How quickly, if this was Nick Caserio as a GM and he was in his third year and he was 15-29 and he was acting as nerdy as Jonathan Gannon does, which is just par for the course for Nick Caserio, we'd be running him out of town too. I think it's like a 7-4. I think his seat is hot. Hot as the Arizona weather.
I feel like that should be like a 10 then, shouldn't it be? Isn't it hot there?
Yeah, but it's not humid. It's just a dry heat.
Okay.
I love when people say that. Eagles beat Detroit in a low-scoring game. That Eagles D is looking pretty good, Joe.
It is pretty good. The Lions are struggling on offense.
Well, they have a
new play caller,
kneecap biter, calling plays. They looked good offensively last week, though.
They did.
I think it's more, in my opinion, a sign of the Eagles defense being really, really good. Like, this is the second week in a row that the Eagles defense has looked really, really good against what is more than likely going to be a playoff team in the NFC.
Yeah, the pass deflections in this game was they had 10. But I think 6 of them came from their defensive line in this game.
Sheesh.
They were just batting everything down at the line of scrimmage. What's his name had? Jordan Davis had 3 of them. Jalen Carter had 2. The Lions just couldn't get anything going in that game last night. It was the Eagles, their offense is just terrible, though.
Yeah, I mean, it does enough to win. It's complimentary football.
I guess.
Does enough to win. What did you think about the interference at the end of the game? A lot of people were feeling some sort of way about this.
It was a bad call.
Yeah. I thought I wouldn't have called it. I think there are plays like that that happen over the course of a game that don't go called. At the same time, letter of the law, could it have been? Yeah.
Yeah, it's just it's one of those where you don't want it called in that moment, but that's not how the game is supposed to be officiated.
No, I thought it was similar to the Christian Kirk pass interference against Jacksonville.
Yeah. You think the defender for the Lions actually grabbed and held his arm?
Yeah.
I think
there's a little bit of that.
His arm was placed on A.J. Brown's arm. I didn't think he actually grabbed and restricted, though.
Yeah, that's very difficult to see in live action, though.
It is. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's why, I mean, you see that called sometimes. You see it not called a lot of times. You've seen far more go. Like, and the fact that it was like in crunch time, Lions would have gotten the ball back down a score, I think magnifies it. I didn't think it was a good call. I would have kept the flag in my waistline, in my belt line. But letter of the law, maybe, I guess. I don't know. I don't think that Detroit would have scored anyways.
No, they couldn't protect Goff at all.
No, I don't think it influenced
the game.
It influenced the chance of them scoring. It influenced the chance of it having an impact. But if the Eagles and my guy Braden Mann punt in that situation. They punt in that situation. What are the odds the Lions score a touchdown? I put it at like plus 300.
Yeah, I was going to say like 20%.
Okay.
Because their offense is terrible this entire game.
Yeah. So I don't think it changed the
outcome. Other than Gibbs. No. Gibbs was electric, but.
He's a stud.
Yeah, everyone else couldn't get it going.
He was good catching the ball.
Yeah.
He got to run the ball. Didn't run the ball very well.
Well, you don't have to.
You don't have to if you're exploding downfield with passing plays.
That kind of team does. They always run the ball well.
Yeah, but if you're getting beat up interior, in the interior defensive line, interior line, in the trenches, why would you just bang your head against the wall?
I know, but like that's when the Lions have always been at their best since like since this crew got there with Gibbs and Montgomery. Like when they're running the ball, they're always at their best.
But when do you give up on it?
They probably gave up at the right time yesterday. Okay. Even though golf wasn't good either.
No. Bills beat the Bucks in a track meet.
Great.
MVP Josh Allen showed up. He had six touchdowns. He had a half a dozen touchdowns.
Unreal.
Just stupid. Like stupid in stat line. Six touchdowns for a quarterback.
Yeah.
Insane.
I know fantasy doesn't really matter, but like the three highest fantasy performances in the last 2 years are all Josh Allen.
He's James Harden.
Yes. I'm fine with that.
He's going to put up numbers that are unbelievable, that are going to be like all-time numbers, but he's never going to have his title. Like even yesterday, he was coughing up the football. He has a historic day at the yard, and he still turns it over twice. How about Keon Coleman being healthy and active for being late to a team meeting?
Yikes.
Not great look for the Florida State wideout.
Nope. They're going to be looking for a wide receiver big time this offseason.
I wonder how much in the doghouse he is. Like a lot of, like you can see this go one of two ways. Like some players, they get in the doghouse and they never leave the doghouse, like A.D. Mitchell, and then he gets traded. Sometimes you do see a player, though, that this will happen to them, and then it's like that is never an issue again, and it like, you know, turns the light on for them. So I'll be curious to see how he responds.
But even if it's not an issue, does it really matter?
In terms of what?
Because like he hasn't really been an impactful player.
Yeah, he hasn't been spectacular.
Since they brought him in. So it might – is he going to miss meetings again? Maybe not. But is he going to make an impact on the Bills on a weekly basis? Probably not.
I mean, I think he's talented too, though. I think he has the talent, and it's a low bar because it's not a great wide receiver room. But I think he has the talent to be a top two receiver in Buffalo.
That's a low bar, though.
That's what I just said.
Yeah.
But that helps. Like, if you're a top two receiver for your team, that is helpful. That is impactful.
Yeah, I would assume, you can't assume, I guess, with pro athletes that they're going to respond to this and, like, get it together.
It depends on the player. Yeah. It's case by case. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Speaking of response, how about Jacksonville? Smoking the Chargers, yeah. 35-6. Really impressive bounce back for the Jags.
Yeah, I mean, Travis Etienne was really good in this game. And so was Tootin as well.
Yeah, he was. He had some run.
Like that's going to be their recipe. Those two guys, like Trevor Lawrence wasn't spectacular in this game.
No, at all.
So you need to be, they have to be able to run the ball consistently.
Like their defense too. I mean, that's pretty legit. I know the Chargers are banged up and their offensive line is depleted, but to hold that team to 6 points was pretty substantial, I think. And just the way they lost last week. Like, they lost last week blowing a 19-point lead in the fourth quarter, and kind of similar to Keon Coleman. You're like, well, how are they going to respond to this? I remember listening to Liam Cohen on Monday, and he's like, yeah, you know, my job this week is going to be to get them to forget last week. And you hear that, and you're like, well, yeah, this could linger. You always hear that saying, like, don't let one game beat you twice. I think that was Liam Cohen's thought early in the week. And then they smoke the Chargers, who are a playoff team, if the season were to end today. I thought that was very impressive by Jacksonville. Very impressive by Liam Cohen. I also think it makes the Texans win 2 weeks ago look much better.
It does.
I know it was kind of fluky. It was kind of miraculous. But I also thought it was fluky that it was so out of hand. Like, you had, you know, turnovers all over the place. You gift the Jags a 10-0 lead. The fact that you beat Jacksonville, and then the very next week they beat a team who was in the playoffs if the season were to end today, 35-6, it does make that win look better.
Especially because they are up 21-6 going into the fourth quarter. When I was watching Red Zone, my thought was, how is Jacksonville going to lose this week?
That's not nice.
Sorry, it's what they deserve at this point.
Why do they deserve it?
You always come in here with these down questions.
Why do they deserve it? What do they do to you?
Their fan base annoys me. But I was like, are they going to blow it again this week like they did last week? Like what Cohen was saying, like, don't let 1 week become 2 weeks. And the fact that they didn't, and they scored 14 points in the fourth quarter and, I mean, made Trey Lance appear in this game, it shows it was a very impressive victory. for them.
Yeah. Have you, Josh Allen is winning. You've seen his girlfriend, right? Hashtag winning. Keep up with pop culture. It's his wife. And then secondly, that's another man's wife, you pervert. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe. Shedeur Sanders got on the football field yesterday, Joe.
Yeah,
which has led to a lot of commentary. Our thoughts on that. We'll get to the lowly Chicago Bears here in a little bit, too. In a team season officially over, because their quarterback is probably done for the year. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
You know, a great place to watch all these games, it's the Sportsbook at LaBerge in Lake Charles, especially their brand-new VIP fan cave section that you can book right now. All you got to do is go to LaBerge's website, click on the Sportsbook. A QR code is going to pop up. It'll connect you with Pedro, one of our friends there at LaBerge, and they will set up your booking so you can rent out the area. You got four TVs. They'll bring the food and the beer, obviously, right to you. You also have some fun stuff in there. You've got NFL Blitz. You've got NBA Jam in there as well. So you can rent it out. And I would look at it now. Like, if you want to go out there for the NFL playoffs, the college football playoffs, just any of that, they're already starting to take bookings for some of those big events, including March Madness as well. You can bet on all of your Houston area teams at LaBerge in Lake Charles. And make sure when you're there, you sign up for a pen play card. So that way you can earn rewards on every wager when you bet inside the sportsbook and in the casino as well. Plus, you can do up to 20 leg parlays on all of your favorite crazy bets. Must be 21 to bet. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? No? Then download it now in your app store. This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
So what'd you think of Shedeur Sanders, Joe?
He stinks.
That's not very nice.
He was
dead bum.
He was not good, man.
Man.
He wasn't.
You're acting like Troy Aikman.
Yikes. Mean.
That's a mean Jeremy.
Mean was not the word that almost came out of my mouth.
what almost came out of your mouth?
Words that are not SEC appropriate. That
would have been funner.
You see, the excuse makers have already started with, well, he didn't get any first team reps.
No, I have Shador's side on this. I don't put like any sort of weight or opinion on a backup quarterback when they come into a game that they've had zero game planning for. They haven't game planned around the quarterback. It's like Davis Mills when he came in for CJ Stroud against Denver. I'm not judging Davis Mills based on an understudy performance and playing in a game he wasn't supposed to play in. Like, Shador didn't look good. Like, what he put on film didn't look good. I'm not going to, like, sit here and lie to you. Like, 4-for-16 is dreadful. He threw a pick there. That's dreadful. But this isn't the Shedeur Sanders story for me. I really hope he starts, and he probably should, right? Like, if Gabriel
It's already been announced.
Or been
reported, at least in Cleveland.
Like, what Shedeur Sanders does with a week of preparation, being the number one, building a game plan around him, what that looks like next week, I'm going to have, you know, way more credibility into that than I will just some, you know, backup performance.
Yeah, it's how does it look this upcoming week? I think that like it is. You're right. It's too early to judge. But 4-for-16, as you said, is dreadful.
It is dreadful
to be that bad. But you know what? It's unfortunate for Dylan Gabriel, like having to get a concussion to get Sanders in the game. But Cleveland has to play him at some point. It had to.
Why?
Because don't you want to see what you got?
Well, if Gabriel is good, no.
Yeah, but Gabriel's not.
But you know that now. You didn't know that then.
No, I mean, like
I'd rather see what Gabriel looks like with 10 starts over my sixth-round quarterback. Like, they also drafted – or fifth-round quarterback. I mean, they also drafted Gabriel in this draft, too. Like, why is Shedeur Sanders looked at as the prospect here when Dylan Gabriel went two rounds ahead of him?
No, I think they're both – but they're both kind of a prospect, right? Like you wouldn't think that either of them – I think both of them would get a chance with how – Gabriel was playing so far this season.
Now, how Gabriel was playing changes things.
Yeah.
But, like, if I'm going into the year, I'm hoping Shedeur Sanders never plays.
100%. You want Gabriel to play the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a terrible situation, though. That's a laughing stock of an offense. And it's too bad because Myles Garrett's a freak show.
Yeah, he's going to win Defensive Player of the Year.
So good. I don't know.
You don't think so?
We've talked about this. I don't like when my offense or defensive players of the year comes from a team that's, like, 4-13. I'm not a fan of that.
I know.
Like, how impactful are you if you're, you know.
I know, he had four sacks in the first half. He's the reason why Baltimore couldn't move the ball, basically.
I know. Lamar Jackson's easy to sack, though. See Ed Oliver back in the day. Hashtag go Kooks. Bears edged the Vikings yesterday. They're winning a lot of close games here, Joe.
They are.
They're playing with their food a little bit too much, Joe.
First place Bears. That's all that matters. They blew that
no
game.
No such thing as ugly wins, right?
That one was pretty tough yesterday. They could have easily lost that game, obviously. Devin Duvernay basically he saved the day in the fourth quarter. They have three comeback wins.
Texas is back, folks!
In the final minute of the game. So it's what they're doing this year is not sustainable.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know he went to Texas?
Duvernay?
Yeah.
No, I used context clues there. No, I didn't. I did not know that Duvernay. I could not have made that connection.
Really?
Maybe that's a bad job
casual.
By me.
I'm surprised.
Maybe it's a casual by me. I should have went to Texas Roadhouse University, and I would have known. Should have put on a Texas T-shirt, and I would have known. But no, I wouldn't have made that connection. I just used context clues. Like, you're not playing that drop on a non-Texas player.
That's true.
Who is him and who isn't? Is Caleb him?
Yes.
Is J.J. McCarthy him?
Definitely not.
He is not. Yeah, he doesn't.
He is not good at football.
Is he so bad? Vikings move on at the end of the year.
I don't think they'll move on. I think he'll be on the roster, but maybe not the starter.
Okay, you know what yes, that's what I meant. Like, I mean, as in he's not the week one starter.
I didn't know that's what you meant. You say a lot of radical things.
Well, isn't that yes? That's exactly what it means.
It just depends on who they could get. Honestly, they wanted Danny Dimes back. They didn't want.
He'll be a free agent.
He's gonna be a free agent. So like. If Daniel Jones wanted to go back, they could open up the checkbook and bring him back and make him the starting quarterback. They didn't want Sam Darnold to leave either.
They trade for Darnold, Jalen Milroe show. See, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
But it just depends on who they could get. Like, I don't think they go to the draft to try to fix J.J. McCarthy.
No,
but
that with J.J. McCarthy. You know,
yeah,
it'll be interesting.
Yeah,
you know what the Vikings need?
What's
you know what J.J. McCarthy needs?
What's that?
Case Keenum.
I like Case Keenum right where he's at.
Brings out, yeah, I bet you do. He's got Caleb Williams looking like a magician.
Yeah.
Case Keenum. Not Ben Johnson, not anything Caleb Williams is doing.
It's Case Keenum.
It's 100%
yep.
Case Keenum.
I'm fine with that.
Packers beat the Giants. Close game. We're looking at Josh Jacobs' knee. Apparently he's going to be okay, though. They don't think it's a long-term injury, although he's been battling it all year. And then Abdul Carter didn't start because he missed a walkthrough because he was asleep in the team facility.
Okay.
Which is hilarious.
Like... Bad teammates? Is he hiding somewhere? Like, did people realize he was sleeping and just didn't wake him up?
Maybe they don't like him because he's a jerk.
That's what I'm kind of wondering. Like, you're seen asleep. You know you have a meeting. And it's like, no, I'm not going to wake him up.
It could be a secret sleeping spot. Remember J.J. Watt on Hard Knocks? He had, like, some secret place inside the facility. Maybe they couldn't find him.
Look, there are some. I don't know what their facility looks like with the Giants. But I know there are some athletic facilities where they have, like, nap rooms. And then they have, like, bunk beds, and they can, like, go, like, grab a nap.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't shock me if an NFL team had that, if they had something in their facility, like a little nap room, and you go get a cot, and then you can sleep for a few minutes. It wouldn't surprise me if that's the case.
No, and it's you can't have it happen. But to miss a meeting while you're in the facility, I don't know if I've heard that one before.
How did he only get a series, though? And Keon Coleman got an entire game, like – Okay, Buffalo, you mean business. Okay, the Giants, you're a joke.
Or like,
these crimes are kind of the same, right?
Well, maybe one has more of a...
Repeat offender?
Yes, and we just don't
maybe.
Know it.
Or that, or the Giants need Abdul Carter more than the Bills need Keon Coleman.
No, the Giants need to lose, though. Brian.
I don't think you're thinking like that.
Yeah, you're right. I'll give
Because it's weird, too, for like a first-time coach in Mike Kafka, like, that's the punishment you want to hand out?
That's like, what new coaches will do, though. They'll like come in and be like, I'm going to lay down the law, and we're going to mean business, and we're going to change the culture.
Yeah, but is a series laying down the law, to your point?
No. It looks weak.
Yeah.
It looks weak. Like, how about at least a quarter or a half or a game? You're not going anywhere anyways. You're going to be fired at the end of the year anyways. Like, you're not going to get that job. Sorry. Sorry about it.
You don't think Tim Kelly's the future there as the OC? Yeah.
I heard that the other day, that he was like he got elevated to OC.
Yeah, he's not calling plays, but he's the OC.
Poor Giants. Falcons are officially toast. They blew a 21-10 halftime lead, lost in overtime to the Panthers. Bryce Young went nuts, mm-hmm. by the way. Like, does that say more about Bryce or more about Atlanta?
I think it says more about Atlanta, but, I mean, now he's the franchise leader in passing yards in a single game.
Who was it prior? Was it Jake Delhomme?
It was Cam Newton.
Oh, okay.
And then now, Penix
Cam Newton
done.
Wouldn't have been one of my first two guesses.
No, he would not have been.
For passing yards, Delhomme was obviously first. Mm-hmm. Who would you have guessed second?
I don't know.
I would have guessed Kerry Collins.
Yeah.
I don't remember Cam Newton racking up a ton of passing yards. Total yards, yes.
I think he had a couple 4,000-yard passing seasons.
Cam did?
Yeah. I know Lee's rookie year he was over 4,000.
Kerry Collins is a gunslinger, though, Brian.
Yeah, but that was rookie Kerry Collins, wasn't it?
Kerry Collins was known for racking up passing yards. Everybody says it. Everybody knows Kerry Collins for that.
And now Kirk Cousins is starting for at least a while, if not the entire season.
Yeah, Penix thought to be out for the year with a partial ACL tear. Good news, I guess, is that it's partial.
And it's not the knee that he tore
in there,
twice.
Finishing my sentence there.
Well, you're not in here, so sorry. I saw a window, I took it.
Don't tell that to Casario. Yeah, we'll see what Cousins looks like. You think he's auditioning for another team?
Is he auditioning for the Vikings job?
Maybe. Like, he hasn't looked good, though. Like, in the little bit that he's played this year, he looks terrible.
No, I think it was the Friday you were out. We went through, like, Will, Brian, and I went through the NFL jobs that might open next year. And Kirk Cousins, if there's six or seven jobs that could be open for the quarterback position, Kirk Cousins has to be high on that list if he plays well this year.
He's got to play, which I think is a big if, though, Joe.
Yeah, he hasn't been good.
I think he's got a better chance to be a coach somewhere. No, he's got too much money on that contract for that to be the case. Steelers cruise past the Bengals. Aaron Rodgers may have broken his little left wrist, though. He's going to be a little limp-wristed quarterback.
Yeah, I'm disappointed.
He's going to have to miss some time.
I wanted Rodgers versus the Bears next week, but
oh, that would have been fun. He owns the Bears, though, Joe.
Yeah, but
this is a winnable game now for you.
It was a winnable game before.
Nah, Rodgers owns the Bears.
No, you know what? Hey, Caleb won in Lambeau last year.
Without Rodgers.
Doesn't matter.
Yes, it does.
You got to start beating demons, okay? He beat one of the demons. No. This was his chance to beat the next one.
No.
Instead,
no.
It's going to be Mason Rudolph, it looks like.
It should be a winnable game. Ja'Marr Chase got suspended a game.
Yes,
he's
did. He's
going to appeal, though. So Chase is being accused by Jalen Ramsey of spitting in his face, which led to Ramsey haymakering Ja'Marr Chase. Do you think he spat Ja'Marr Chase in the face of Jalen Ramsey?
Sure looked like it.
How can you tell?
When they zoomed in, it looked like there was like a...
Like a pucker?
No, it looked like the way his head moved. It looks like there was a spit.
I feel like there's not enough evidence there.
Yeah, but then he didn't talk to the media today, so that doesn't help his case.
How does that matter?
Because it feels like he's upset at himself.
I think he's upset with the... Maybe, I don't know.
I mean, it's going to cost him $500,000.
I think he's upset that he told the world he didn't spit when there's cameras everywhere.
Do you think he spat?
Yeah.
I haven't seen one footage where I'm like, yeah, that's 100% definitive that he spat in his face.
I don't know. The video I saw looked like he did.
Like, what gives it away? Is it the lip pucker?
Yeah, it's just the motion of everything. You can see his mouth moving.
He, like,
and making
cocked back?
Yes.
Like, I mean...
Oh, wait, no, I'll send you this video. You can literally see the spit fly out of his mouth.
I mean, maybe he's a spitter when he talks, though.
Nah,
like sometimes
no,
I spit
is,
a little bit when
this,
I talk.
This is a loogie.
Like, it's like the dude on Friends, the actor, whenever he would, like, you know, really enunciate his P's. Like, Peter picked a pepper, and he's just, like, spitting in his
Settle
face.
Settle down, Scott Boras.
Remember?
Yes.
That's not Scott Boras. It was a line in the show, because he was doing the P's. Like, he was really, like, you know, putting the emphasis on the P's, and
didn't
his
watch
spit
Friends.
Was flying everywhere.
I've
I didn't say that.
I've seen the clip.
I didn't say I didn't watch Friends. I said Friends is not nearly as good now as it was then. I watched every episode of Friends. Flex. It's not a good show.
It's not a good overrated. Flex.
I know. That's why I was being sarcastic. Do you get sarcasm, Brian?
Yeah, you're not here. It's harder to say.
You should be able to hear it.
I just DM'd you the video.
Dolphins beat the Commanders. Hey, slide into my DMs. Dolphins beat the Commanders in overtime in a game that neither team wanted to win. Why are teams so reluctant to take a 3-point lead with a minute left to play?
I don't know.
Like, Washington's going for it 4th-and-2 at, like, the 20 with, like, a minute and a half. It's like, okay, you can kind of see it. Don't love it. Take the lead. Play defense. It's a low-scoring, ugly game. Like, I'm not too confident either team could have scored a touchdown. But you can kind of get it with Dan Quinn's decision. And then Miami gets the ball. They drive all the way inside the 10. Achane gets stuffed. It's 4th-and-goal from the 1. Achane's, like, hurt. So, like, the game stops. And we're like, okay, well, their offense is on the field just to check on Achane. Then certainly they're going to run their kicking team on. No, they stay on the field, and they go for it. 4th-and-goal from the 1 with, like, what, 40 seconds to go and get stuffed? Washington actually got a field goal chance to win it, missed it. All these computer people are like, oh, it was a smart decision. You mathematically have a better chance to win the game going for it in that scenario. Joe Shad, who, like, he writes for the Palm Beach Post, which maybe he's in bed with McDaniel, he said McDaniel is smart. He should be praised for his aggressiveness in this game. He was right to try for the touchdown over a field goal because the math tells it to do it. He said that going for the touchdown increased the odds of winning by 3.5%, Joe.
Cool.
Joe, would you rather have 3.5% or would you rather have a three-point lead?
Give me
a three-point lead. And then here's my beef with these analytics, too. Are the analytics here, are they taking just like the scope of the history of the game, maybe just this year? Are they taking the feel of that game?
No.
Where both teams are having trouble moving the ball and struggling to score? I hate analytics, I think.
Oh, really?
I hate analytics in football especially.
Yeah, because they don't factor in anything. They just factor
in. I know analytics has those things out there.
Yeah, I feel the same as Cully, yeah, man.
Just straight up numbers. That's all they look at.
You have a 3.5% greater chance of winning the game. Cool. Take that 3.5%, turn it sideways, and send on the field goal team and take a lead.
Yep.
I never thought I would be bashing analytics. Never thought I would do it.
Well, they're bad sometimes.
You want a 3.5% chance or a 3.5-point lead? 3-point lead.
Take the lead.
So weird, man.
I just understand how the NFL is growing when these trash games keep getting played in Europe.
Yeah, put bodies in the seat.
I guess. My gosh. Can't we give them a good product at least?
No, I don't want that to happen. No. Keep the good games here in the country.
Start flexing
between our borders.
Oh, okay, so start flexing the bad games.
Yeah. I don't want them to get the good stuff.
Like, hey, you can't play, okay, on Sunday Night Football and Monday Night Football. So instead, you're gonna fly to London last minute and play there.
Brian's telling us to break, Joe.
Break.
It really makes me want to keep talking. I'm defiant that way. All right, 713-780-3776. Who had the biggest win in college football, Joe? Who had the biggest win? 713-780-3776. Breaking because Brian is making us. It's Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
This is ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zada Jewelers, KFNC, and 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.